Hello, and welcome to another jam-packed episode of My Favorite Conservative. I am Edward.
And I am Andrea, but I am not conservative.
You're not?
No, but he is my favorite conservative.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, and we really do have a jam-packed episode.
Oh.
We do.
Jam-packed.
It's been a slower news week, despite the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse in Baltimore.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, that for sure. First off, happy Easter to
yes.
all our Christian viewers and watchers and,
yes.
and listeners and all that good stuff. But you're right. There wasn't a lot of earth-shattering news this week, which is kind of a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I'll agree with that. Yeah, it's kind of, you know, the bridge was enough. Like, that was plenty. So, Edward, tell our viewers, especially those watching live, what are we talking about today?
Yeah, well, we've got a humdinger.
Okay.
Not a word that's used often enough, I don't think.
Probably for good reason. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Continue.
Well, we are going to go across the pond
okay.
To France.
All right.
And I was actually stunned to see a report earlier this week that the French Senate had issued a report that stated the practice of sexually transitioning children will be remembered as one of the greatest ethical scandals in the history of medicine.
Wow, that is
yeah.
truly stunning, and I am thrilled that the world is starting to wake up to this madness. And we're going to dive deeper into this, but we are talking about children.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. If you're of age and you decide you want to hack your body up, you're mentally ill, but go right ahead.
Okay. Continue with the France story, please.
But, you know, it's funny because I believe this is one issue
that
we agree on. Yeah, we don't agree on. Something
we don't agree on a lot, but
yeah, this actually this is from an article by Kurt Zindolka at our friends at Breitbart.com, and we're going to put the links in the show notes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's take a look at what the report said.
Okay. All right. So the medical industry embarked upon the practice of giving children life-altering transgender treatments with little evidence of its effectiveness, while ignoring the side effects.
Yeah. I mean, there's a mouthful right there.
Yes.
Right? The key word is children.
Children.
Right.
Little evidence.
And little evidence.
And ignore yes. the side effects.
Correct. Yeah.
The report continued. It found that while parents were often pressured by doctors to put their children on puberty blocking drugs to prevent suicide, there is little proof that this course of action has any better outcomes for the child.
Yeah. I mean, we're seeing that here in this country.
We are.
Right? The social contagion, the... If you notice where most of these transitions are,
yes,
they're in very liberal areas.
That's true.
And
that's true.
So you would think if this is a phenomenon that is, you know, worldwide, it would be somewhat evenly distributed.
Yes, and I think it's just so terrible that these doctors, however well-intentioned they may or may not be, that, I mean, they are saying this to parents, you yeah. know, would you rather have a dead daughter or a son, you know, just as an example. And we've heard many detransitioners come out and talk about this
yeah.
and say that, and they don't blame their parents because they said their parents were so pressured into doing this and desperate for a solution.
Yeah, it's an absolute shame. It's almost like these kids, though, are praised that they're so bold in making this decision.
Oh, absolutely.
They become so much more popular
especially
than they were.
Especially on Tumblr. They're the worst
yeah.
with that. So the head of, to continue with the report, the head of the plastic surgery department at Georges Pompidou Hospital in Paris, don't know if I'm saying that right, Laurent Lanterie, I'm not sure, said there was no evidence that sex changes for children improve their quality of life because, and this is a quote, there are obviously no randomized trials. And he's right. You need actual clinical trials to show the efficacy.
Yeah. Almost kind of reminds you of COVID, right?
I know.
Let's just put it out there and see what happens. But yeah,
this is life altering.
Yes.
This is so much worse
yes.
in many ways.
And it's children.
Yes.
Yes.
The report goes on to say there was a prevalence of depression and other mental illnesses among children seeking to change their gender. The report found, listen to these stats, guys, 70% of those seeking gender reassignment had anxiety, depressive disorders. 30% have previously suffered from some form of trauma, typically sexual abuse. And 30% of children seeking to change their gender were found to have been autistic, although they were often undiagnosed. What do you think of those stats, Edward?
Those numbers are stunning.
Yeah,
and
they are.
I am so happy that they have delved into this and looked at these numbers. Folks, it is a mental illness. When you hate who you are and the body that you were born in, it's a mental illness. And now that this, what's the phrase of the affirmation?
Gender affirming care. Yes.
Now, this is the only mental illness diagnoses that gender affirming care is prescribed is the solution.
Right.
Right. You don't walk in and, you know, you're bulimic.
Okay.
And they tell you that you should go on a diet, or no, you're great, you know, 40 pounds underweight. And
you mean anorexic?
Anorexic. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Sorry. Yeah. All right. Bulimic's a throw-up thing, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I got to keep you back on track here. Well, here's how I think about it. So when I was a kid, even though I was a ballet dancer, I was a tomboy for many years. I mean, I was very proud of the fact that I went an entire year without wearing a dress. You know, much to my mother's dismay, the only time that my parents went to church when we were kids was on Easter Sunday. And this was during the time where I was like, I'm not wearing a dress. I'm not doing it. But I was very much a tomboy. I liked hanging out with the guys. I climbed trees. But, you know, I can't even imagine that if I had gone and I resisted puberty. I mean, I did not want to, quote unquote, become a girl. But I think back to that time, and if I had come to my parents and said, I'd rather be a boy, well, today that would happen.
Well, not only, you know, your parents are probably pretty strong-minded enough to say no, but if you mentioned that in school, they would immediately, you know, start calling you a boy name if you wanted to be called,
yeah,
and start you on this path. And
yeah. That's a very good point too.
Yeah.
The report says the evidence of the safety of prescribing puberty blockers to children was also based on very fragile basis, pointing out the justification for their administration in France was based on the so-called Dutch protocol developed in the Netherlands 2 decades ago. Edward, would you tell everyone, because I didn't know about this, what the Dutch protocol is?
Yeah, and people have been citing this for years. And again, we're talking 20 years ago when a lot was not known about this, you know, syndrome, if you will. So the Dutch protocol claimed that the effects of puberty blocking drugs given to children as young as 12 years old were reversible. Yet the French report said that this was not trustworthy, given that it was only based on the observations of 54 patients.
So I just want to put this in perspective. In clinical trials, 54 patients is not the number you need to really show that something is a game changer. That's like a phase 1, phase 2 clinical trial. And it doesn't sound like this was an actual trial. This was just observation. But also this observation, it was funded in part by Ferring Pharmaceuticals. Now, it's okay that there are many, many clinical trials that are funded either by government around the world, different governments, or by industry, pharmaceutical companies. So that's not unusual. But this trial, funded by Ferring Pharmaceuticals, is a firm that produced puberty-blocking drugs. That's a conflict of interest.
You think? Yeah.
Yes.
It's just stunning that nobody has talked about this. And finally, you know, people are realizing, gee, maybe they had an ulterior motive.
Yes,
perhaps.
Exactly. Exactly. So just again, recap this Dutch protocol that came out 20 years ago saying that giving puberty blockers to children was reversible. That was for only 54 patients were observed. That was funded by a pharmaceutical company that was producing those puberty blocking drugs. So they were going to profit off the results of this so-called study.
Yeah. And the sad thing is what, as we've watched some documentaries here,
yes,
recently,
we have many.
You're still seeing these doctors out there talking about, oh, it's completely reversible, when there is absolutely no evidence that it is. And you're seeing, especially women trying to become a man, lose the ability for childbirth.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, to me, that is not reversible.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And they all have very deep voices too.
Yes. Unfortunately. Yeah. So we see people watching live. Remember, you can participate in the conversation by putting in the comments, and we will, if you're open to it, we'll share your comments. So the result of the report, finishing up with the French Senate has introduced legislation banning all puberty blocking drugs and surgeries for anyone under the age of 18. Awesome.
What?
That's amazing. Again, we're talking about children. As an adult, whatever you want to do, that's on you. That's fine. But I think this is incredible. Now, they've introduced the legislation. It hasn't gone through yet, correct?
It has not. But okay. We're seeing a trend over in Europe, which is actually a good one.
Yes. Well, yeah. To tell us.
Well, actually, the National Health Service, the NHS in England, has already enacted these policies and has shuttered its Tavistock Center.
Now, what was
that? Tavistock Center was the only gender-affirming care center for minors in the entire country.
Wow.
And they realized, oh, good Lord, what are we doing?
Yes.
Because they're seeing the effects of this. And at some point, the adults have to stand up and take charge.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. Now, unfortunately, let's come back home to the U.S. We've got some things happening in my former state of California.
Yeah.
Tell us what's going on.
Well, in Sacramento, unfortunately, here in the U.S., in Sacramento, California, the city voted this past Tuesday unanimously, Tuesday night, to declare the California capital, Sacramento, a sanctuary city for transgender people.
Okay, what does that mean?
Well,
exactly?
That's working out so well with the illegal aliens, right?
Yes, but tell us more.
Basically, this is California bill, AB 957 is the state bill.
Right.
And this would amend existing state law to say that a court's consideration of the health, safety, and welfare of the child should include, among other comprehensive factors, a parent's affirmation of the child's gender identity or gender expression.
So let's just break that down. Yeah. What that means is that if you live in California and you're a parent of minor children, so your kids are under the age of 18, and you don't affirm your child's gender, and as Edward mentioned earlier, sometimes this really starts at school, and you don't affirm your child's gender, then you could be arrested or get in trouble or have your child even taken away from you.
Yeah, now that's the California bill. So
yes.
The Sacramento statement that they're going to be a sanctuary city actually goes even a little bit farther.
Really?
With this, or
oh,
further
God.
With this. And when you know, again, when we talk affirming, that means you have to agree.
Yes,
with,
no matter what.
With the child on this. And you're seeing this play out in custody battles.
Yeah, you are.
And especially where one parent lives in another state and the other parent lives in California. And you will have no chance if you are a parent that does not agree or affirm your child's stated gender, whether it's actually right or wrong. You'll have no chance in a custody hearing.
That's terrible.
At all. It is... It's so sad. And, you know, what I mentioned earlier about where this is happening in the country.
Right. Yeah.
Again, look at it scientifically. If this was a nationwide phenomenon, you would have the same amount or close to the same amount of people declaring their transgender in Peoria, Illinois,
right,
as you would in Beverly Hills. And it is incredibly unbalanced, the numbers between that. And you're seeing, you know, celebrities, right? They're so proud that their kids are now transgendered. What does that do? That gives them this moral high ground that they think anyway.
Well, and also their celebrity kids are now influencing the kids that are their age.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really scary. I mean, let's talk about this for one more second. What would you have done? Yeah, your kids were all born in the 90s.
Yeah.
So they're all, it depends on who you ask these days, but they're all essentially millennials or older Gen Zers. Yeah. Your youngest being kind of on the cusp there. What would you have done if either your sons or your daughter had come to you and said, you know, I'm not comfortable with my body. I'd like to change my gender. I mean, that wasn't happening when they were growing up,
but what
would you have done?
I would have sat them down, either my daughter or my two boys, and said, you're wrong. This is your body.
Yeah.
You,
And perhaps gotten them counseling, I hope.
Yes, we would have discussed what actual chromosomes are.
Yes.
That they identify what you are to your core.
Absolutely.
Now, you might be going through a feeling now, and we all know the teenage years.
They suck.
We really do.
They suck.
And the problem is that it's gotten much worse, especially since I've been a child and you've been a child.
Absolutely.
With social media.
So much worse.
You know, I think a lot of this turns to 2010 when cell phones, smartphones started becoming prevalent.
Yeah, ubiquitous.
Yeah, yes. And everybody had them. By 2015, everybody had smartphones. Great internet was really starting to, you know, the high-speed internet was taking over. So
and kids are growing up with these phones.
Well, yeah. And instead of us, our generation, going outside and hanging and playing with your friends, people are now sitting in their bedrooms, that's the only way they're interacting, and they're seeing this phenomenon take over. And then you've got the influencers, right, of these
certain
social media sites that actually have a lot of influence on your kids.
They do, yeah.
And you know, it comes down to parenting. And if the problem with my generation and your generation were what, 12 years difference?
Oh, come on. Are you really doing this live on the air?
13.
Okay, you're 13. A baby boomer. I'm a Gen Xer. Yes.
But it's our fault too, because so many of us, we started with the participation trophies that you're the greatest child that's ever walked this earth.
That started more with, Gen Xer parents, but yeah.
Yeah, but you've given this affirmation to this child that
they
walk on water.
Yeah.
And I was always like, you know what? You're a kid. You know, we're not Einsteins here, all of us, right? Maybe you could turn into one.
You're going to
you
fail.
Never know.
Yeah.
But
you're going to
sometimes we had to be parents and we weren't. We advocated that. And I think our kids have paid the price for our negligence as parents.
Okay. Well, I'm not taking on that responsibility. So, okay. All right. So we do have the Week in Woke, which is always fun. But before the Week in Woke, I asked Edward to put this in the show. We've got the Week in, and go ahead and censor us, Apple. Go ahead and put that explicit tag. We've got the Week in What the Fuck, WTF. Okay, tell us where this one comes from.
Well, this is our friend Stephen Nelson over at the NewYorkPost.com.
Okay, and whenever told me this story, I was like, wait, what? What? Huh? So tell us about it.
Well, it's gotten a lot of airplay.
Obviously,
it's a very high profile thing. So President Biden landed in New York City Thursday for a $25 million fundraiser with former presidents Barack Hussein Obama and William Jefferson Clinton.
Yes.
But had yet to publicly address the Monday killing of NYPD officer Jonathan Diller, whose Long Island wake was attended by former President Donald Trump right down the road. From where they were.
It's a bad look.
Yes.
And I'll continue. Biden's star-studded visit to Radio City Music Hall was expected to set a record haul for a single event as the incumbent builds a substantial cash advantage over Trump, the presumptive Republican nominee. And to do a deeper dive here, this was Mindy Kaling, I believe, was the host or moderator, I forget. Who's the other guy?
Oh, no, Stephen Colbert was the actual host.
Stephen Colbert was the host. Mindy Kaling, all these celebrities. Who's a famous photographer?
Annie Leibovitz.
She was taking photos. So you could get a photo with the three presidents, so Obama, Clinton, and Biden, starting at $100,000.
Yeah.
Yes.
And prices went up to $500,000.
Yes.
Yes.
So the 81-year-old Biden was accompanied by Obama, landed shortly afternoon at JFK, again, 6 miles away from where this officer Diller was gunned down in Far Rockaway. I mean, think about the just how this looks. I mean, you've got this $25 million fundraiser going on here, and then right down the street, former President Trump, however you feel about him, is actually attending the wake for this officer.
Well, let's switch the parties.
Okay.
Republicans are,
doing a big
raising $25 million and the Democrats are at a wake of a police officer that was killed. The headlines would be, right? I mean, they write themselves.
They do.
You know, Republicans with fat cat donors, right?
Yes.
And, Biden is for the people and
What I think is really fascinating about this is we're really seeing a shift with the parties, right? We're really seeing a shift with, and I mean, this happens in society, and we talked about generations with parenting, but we're seeing this shift where the Democratic Party is becoming the party of the coastal elites. It really is.
Oh, yeah.
And the Republican Party is becoming more of the working class party.
Yeah, the only demographic that Democrats lead in right now in the polls is college graduates. That's it. Everybody else, minorities, working class, everything else are actually Republicans. But, you know, speaking of fundraising,
yes,
you know, this was actually, I think they actually ended up raising $26
million. Oh, so they good went for over them. That. They exceeded but their goal.
Here's an interesting statistic, because you can gauge support not by the amount of money that's raised, but actually by the way the donations are broken down. So in terms of donations right now for both the DNC and the RNC.
So wait, I'm going to stop you. So you mean the sort of the enthusiasm of the electorate based correct. On small donations?
Correct.
Okay,
yes.
Continue.
Yeah. So only 38% of the donations for Joe Biden come from small donors. That's giving between $1 and $200.
So the average everyday person.
Correct.
Okay.
So he's got 38% of that. On the other hand, the Trump campaign boasts a remarkable 61% of its donations from small donors, with only 9% coming from major contributors.
So that tells you there's more enthusiasm for Trump.
Well, there is. Yeah, there is for sure. But I mean, compared to the previous election cycle, Biden has seen a 10-point increase of big donors.
Yeah.
And Trump's have decreased 10% from big donors. So you're seeing this switch that you're talking about of the everyday person is more leaning Republican now, where the Republicans have seem to have their interest at heart versus the Democrats are now the party of the rich.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I am an independent. I think, but you have to ask yourself, like, are you better off today than you were 3 years ago? And if you are better off today, and I think that's like less than 1% of 1% of Americans. But if you are better off today, then yes, absolutely. Vote for Joe Biden.
I think something that encapsulates this perfectly is Joe Biden's absolute determination to eliminate student loans.
Yes. Well, right? Yeah, to get voters. Yes.
These are student loans for colleges. So he wants the taxpayers, the blue collar, didn't go to college people to pay for the college graduates.
Yes.
And eliminate all of that. And that right there tells you college graduates, non-college graduates, working person versus more elitist.
Yeah.
That's exactly where we've broken down.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that was the weekend WTF. Let's go to, yes, we have two. We have two. Let's go to our first This Week in Woke. Some other people have commented on this, but it's just too funny that we have to talk about it, just in case you have not heard about it.
We've got a daily double in the Week in Woke.
We do. Time. And you were just talking about college tuition, so set us up.
It will. Let's go to Nashville, Tennessee.
Woo-hoo! I'll be there next weekend.
Let's go to Vanderbilt University. Named after Commodore Vanderbilt.
Yes.
Yes.
Continue.
Tuition's only $60,000 a year.
Okay.
So this is from our friend Susie Weiss over at thefreepress.com.
Okay. We'll put that in the show notes.
I love the title to the story, Tale of a Tampon. Scenes from a sit-in at Vanderbilt.
Oh, may I? May I please?
Please do. So, I think you have a little more insight on this than I do.
So it all started Tuesday morning, so not quite a week ago, when a wave of undergrad students rushed Kirkland Hall, where Vanderbilt's chancellor's office is located. So they began their sit-in. It was a response to the college administration shutting down a student government vote over whether the school should divest funds from Israel. The protesters remained there for nearly 21 and a half hours before police began removing and arresting students, some of whom have since been suspended.
Amen.
I think you need to read the next part. Go ahead.
Okay.
It's great.
During one of those 21 and a half hours of protest, a few student demonstrators called 911.
Yes.
That's because their friend, part of the sit-in, had to change her tampon.
Yes. The protester claimed that She was being denied the right to change her tampon. This is a quote, by the way, that has been in for multiple hours, which leads to increased risk of toxic shock syndrome. So I will say the 911 operator said, and do you have the emergency? Like, and she was like,
yeah,
she was like, it's my friend. And since when do you have to have the one with the emergency to call 911? Which was honestly, that was a fair point.
Yes.
But we found out in a subsequent video, please continue.
Yeah. We find out that the tampon was removed.
It was.
Though not in any of the many, many bathrooms on campus, by the way, it came out at the sit-in.
Yes.
A woman on a microphone that you can hear in the video calls it the most depraved shit I've seen in my entire life.
No. Is she saying it's depraved because this student wasn't allowed to leave and not get arrested to go to the bathroom, or was it depraved because this young woman took out her tampon in front of everybody right there?
Okay. Well, first off, I think if she got up to leave, the cops would say goodbye, have a nice day, get out of here,
yeah,
which is what they want him to do at the beginning.
That's true. That's fair.
But let me back this up here. There's a part in here that I actually like. So they call 911 because her friend had to change her tampon.
Oh, okay.
So we can actually now identify it's not their tampon.
It's right? Her tampon.
Yes, it is her. So we start that this is actually a woman.
Yes, but perhaps her gender is a female.
But men menstruate too, supposedly.
Oh, okay. No. Okay. Let's stay on topic. All right. Let's stay on topic. Okay. You're going down. But I will just say that as someone who's had many tampons in my life, a few hours, you know, probably not going to have toxic shock. I mean, she probably needed to change the tampon. Could feel that she needed, but I mean, seriously, it's not going to happen unless, you know, get stuck in there for days. So.
Well, I just find it fascinating. This is at Vanderbilt University, it's like the Harvard of the South.
Absolutely. It's an incredible university.
Supposedly a great university. But if these are the kind of kids that, the, you know, first off are able to get in, you know,
yes.
I mean, but is this the kind of rubbish that we're graduating?
You
can
be intelligent and not smart.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I think Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana states it the best. These are overeducated, stupid people.
Did he really say that?
Oh, yeah. Overeducated, stupid people. That is spot on. So kudos to John Kennedy.
All right. So we do have a bonus this week in Woke number 2. We're doubling your pleasure with this additional week in Woke. From our friends again over at Breitbart, give us the title here. It's awesome.
Yes, this is from the actor Michael Rapaport.
Yes.
And here's the headline: I won't vote for Biden. At this point, voting for Trump is on the table. So before we begin, let's talk about who Michael Rapaport is.
Yes. Yeah. He's a incredible, well-known.
Good actor.
Good actor. Mm-hmm. If you don't recognize the name, just Google him. You'll recognize him. Character actor. I mean, he's been in so many different things, but raging anti-Trump.
Oh, like, yeah. He makes De Niro look like, you know, Trump. De Niro would vote for Trump any day.
Or now. Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah. Any of those. Yeah. He has put out screeds on the internet.
Screeds. That's interesting. What an interesting word.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Yes. Yeah.
Over the past few years, and especially during Trump's term, that were so far over the top, called him every name in the book. You know, I know we used the F word earlier, but I won't say what he used to call him.
And he's always screaming. He's a screamer.
Yes. So for him
to say this,
to think about changing his tune is just incredible. Do you want to?
Yes. So he said, I won't vote for Biden. At this point, voting Trump is on the table. I won't support anyone anti-Israel or anti-making USA safe. And he has come to this realization after the October 7th attack in Israel.
Yeah. So Rapaport, he ripped the Biden administration's open border policies that have allowed an unprecedented at least 8 million aliens to flood the country, overwhelming cities.
Okay, illegal immigrants.
Illegal.
Yes, but you forgot the illegal part.
Oh, I did. Okay, yes. Sorry. Yeah, my bad. Overwhelming state and city governments to the point where they're cutting back on services like policing and public education.
And this is my favorite point. Again, this is a direct quote, and we are going to tag you, Michael. I've got to show my ID at least 3 or 4 times at the airport, he said. But it takes you 2 minutes to cross the border. I'm not down with that shit. Love, love, love. Continue.
Rappaport also blasted the lawlessness that has overtaken cities like his native New York, where left-wing politicians coddle illegals while rank-and-file police officers are left hanging out to dry.
The actor also said he is fed up with the identity politics that the left uses to control and manipulate its base. And here's another great quote. God, love it. I think we need to follow him from now on Instagram. I'm not getting caught up or suckered into these race politics, he said.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
Fucking men. Like, wow. Like, when Edward showed me this video, and again, we will put this in the show notes, but when he showed me the actual video, I was like, the tide might be turning.
I think it's fascinating to watch in real time.
Yes.
Right? As this raving anti-Trump lunatic is now putting it on the table that he could vote for Trump.
And making it public.
Yeah. I give him kudos for that.
I do too. Absolutely.
A lot of times you realize how wrong you are, and it's hard to admit that you're wrong.
I'm going to say I give him credit, because putting that out publicly could hurt his career.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. I used to work in the entertainment industry, and my ex is a Republican. He's conservative, and he wouldn't even talk about it.
In the industry
at all, because he was afraid of being banned from jobs. And so, I mean, look at like a James Woods. Not working in Hollywood these days.
No.
Yeah.
Now, I hope this isn't like a deep fake where come late October, all of a sudden he's going to come out and go, no, you know, I was wrong. Trump's an ass, and we all have to, you know, rally around Biden. I hope that's not going to be the case.
I don't think that's going to be the case. Now, will it push him to vote? He might be one of those people that just, I won't vote for Biden, but I'm not going to vote for Trump, and he may stay home. Yeah. You know, he may be one of those people, because I'm, you know, I'm still on the fence there. I'm right there. I'm not going to vote for Biden. I'm not ready to vote for Trump.
Well, it's interesting because these two Weekend Woke stories are related.
Yes.
Because his main thing, and especially when he started, when the scale started falling off of his eyes, was October 7th.
I know. And that's Israel. Changing people.
And the whole thing that you saw at Vanderbilt was they were protesting because they want Vanderbilt to divest from Israel, because they only see things as occupiers and occupied.
Yep.
And that everything to them is just black and white. If you're the majority in an area, you're wrong and you're white, you know, whatever. Yep. So, yeah. And it's nice to see Michael Rappaport realizing that the Democrats do not have the Jews back.
Absolutely.
In this one.
No. Nope.
Not even Biden can give you all the crap of Jews are our friends and Israel.
Yeah, actions speak louder than words.
Exactly.
Bottom line.
And you can pretend and say everything you want, but when you are seeing the funding that's still going to these Hamas stooges, if you will, it's stunning.
Yeah.
It really is.
So. And, you know, this is a perfect segue. So next week, we have a pre-recorded show for you about how to solve the border crisis and fix immigration. And I firmly believe you are going to love this show. And if President Trump listens, Edward might be the next border czar under the Trump administration, because it is just genius.
Well, yeah, thank you very much. I do You're have right. a few suggestions in there that
you
I think have, are you, commonsensical.
You have terrific ideas.
Thank you.
That could actually be implemented.
Well, if somebody had some political guts, of which I believe President Trump does, yes.
All right. So we are, after next week's episode, we're taking 2 weeks off to set up our locals community. Again, that's like an OnlyFans without the sex or nudity. And we're preparing for our season 3 launch on April 28th.
Yeah, so during season 3, which is coming up, as she said, we are going to heavily focus on the upcoming elections.
Yep.
Right? It's starting to get to crunch time here. So
absolutely.
Stay tuned. Stay in touch by joining our mailing list at myfavoriteconservative.show.
Yes, and thank you so much for joining us live today. We see you out there in the universe. And please follow us on all social media platforms. So again, you can join us live for the launch of season 3 on Sunday, April 28th, but there will be another episode that drops next week, pre-recorded. So again, Sunday, April 28th, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1 p.m. Eastern. We live stream, as all you can see, on YouTube, Rumble, LinkedIn, X, and Facebook. Please be sure, if you're listening to the podcast, which always drops on Monday, please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast, available wherever you're listening right now. Please review the podcast on Apple Podcast, Spotify, or Podchaser, because that helps more people to find the show. And that Logos community is going to be launching in May. And when you join, you're going to get exclusive access to live Q&As with me and Edward, bonus content, and more. Plus, we are looking for our fans to suggest topics for us to cover from now until the election.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting season 3 started, because this is going to be one hell of an election season.
It is.
It's going to be fun.
The polls are all over the place. So again, please, you can learn more. You can sign up for our mailing list by going to myfavoriteconservative.show. That's myfavoriteconservative.show.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for joining us live. Take care. Happy Easter. Yeah.